Hello, everyone. Programming note. You may or may not remember that we are fighting Gygas, the interstellar tyrant.
He's an alien, I think, right?
Yeah, he is an alien. I'm assuming he's interstellar. Maybe he's from Pluto. I don't know. So we are playing through Earthbound, and in 2 weeks' time from when you are hearing this, we are going to finish Earthbound. July 1st is when we are going to do our final Earthbound debrief.
The final countdown.
This is the final countdown. You have 2 weeks to finish Earthbound. Yes, you should definitely play it. That also means we have 2 weeks to finish Earthbound, so we should start playing it.
Yeesh.
All right. Until we do, always remember, Fuzzy Pickles, don't use the Casey bat.
Exactly.
And never trust Pokey with anything. All right, I'll talk to you soon. You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 17th, 2015. And remember, above all, stay fresh.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name's Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, where we spill some of our own ink.
Ugh.
Oh, you like it.
Ugh.
This week on the podcast, we are doing a quick little debrief about Splatoon. But before we do, just like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, 2 weeks until the Earthbound final debrief.
Yep.
Get ready. Enjoy that game.
Yep.
Speaking of games, why don't we get into Splatoon? This is Nintendo's... this is being talked about, by the way. I love this sort of... It's almost like a weird mythology. Splatoon is the first game, the first new IP from Nintendo... with new characters in, like, 25 years.
They're like, not since my grandpappy's day have I seen a new IP from Nintendo.
It's like the second son. Yeah, was Pikmin the last one?
Probably Pikmin.
Holy crap.
I think so. Maybe Animal Crossing. Probably Pikmin, though.
I mean, there are new characters. There's, you know, Rosalina and Luma are relatively new, but a whole new sort of game series. That's a lot to live up to. You're being added to the Pantheon. It's like a new Disney movie being made, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, fit into those, like, you know, hallowed halls with people like Mr. Game & Watch, Pit.
You get your own amiibo. It's like, welcome to the party. So for those who don't know, Splatoon is a third-person shooter territory battle game. Let's throw in Simulator in there, because I always like
that.
Yeah,
it's a Squid Simulator.
It's a Squid Simulator, 2015. You and I have been playing it
a
little bit. I think I'm level, like, 9 right now?
Mm.
What level are you? Have you hit the max?
No, I think the max is like 20. I think I'm like 12 or something like that. I mean, you curve pretty hard at the beginning, like most shooters, and then it starts to flatten out after a little bit. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we like about this game. One thing I really enjoy is the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those Bratz dolls? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the, like, weirdly hypersexualized dolls little children.
Yes, it's like a weirdly hypersexualized dolls with big heads.
Yeah.
Not to compare this to Bratz, but it's kind of like Bratz. In the sort of weird, like, self-aware, kind of extreme playfulness with what is, like, a normal thing.
Yeah.
Especially the breaking news elements of the game. So, when you first enter the game, there are, like, two squid spokespeople.
Yeah.
And they give you a rundown of basically the two maps that you can access in either a normal mode or ranked mode when you're playing competitively.
Yeah.
Those maps change, what, I think it's every hour, a few hours?
I looked it up because I was, like, I wanted to, like, game the system or whatever. So, they have been rotating it every 4 hours.
Wow. And so there are many maps, or maybe not many maps, there are maybe, what, like 8 maps or so?
Something like that, yeah.
But you can only ever access 2 at a given time.
Yeah, 2 for regular battle, and then 2 different ones for ranked battle.
Right, and you don't get to decide which of those 2. When you queue up, you randomly are selected into one of those 2. In a weird way, this is sort of like an analogy for the whole game.
Yeah.
That it limits certain things that you can do, but I think for a specific reason.
Yep.
So I think in this case, the reason is that, well, one, it's a connectivity issue, right? We're not going to be able to put everybody into all the matches.
Yeah.
2, it's to get you excited about, oh, I like that map. I can't normally access it. So it's a reason to come back.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of, like, little ways that they try to get you to come back and play Splatoon again.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's so that people who are new learn those maps and you start to get a little bit more, you know, a better understanding of how those maps work in terms of where you can go and mm-hmm. where you can hide and poke out, or, you know, establish certain bases or whatever. And I actually think that is pretty effective. Mm-hmm. All of the times that I've played for an extended period of time, I felt like, oh, you know what? I'm getting this map.
Yeah.
I play 4 hours later or the next day, and it's a new map. And again, I'm lost, but it's okay because I get time to learn this particular yep. map. There are a lot of first-person shooters where you queue up and there's like 32 maps mm. and you've only ever played this one a couple times because people don't vote for this one and you're not really sure where the hiding spots are.
That's the other thing. People are just voting for them, right? So
right.
you're playing with people that already have a preference for the map.
Yes.
And so they already know where the hiding places are, so you never really have a choice as to, like, you just need to run in there and, like, hope and pray that you learn the map fast enough.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's just fascinating. Like, I feel like I know the maps better than I do lots of other shooters.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so limited.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, it feels like this is so heavily a kid's game, mm-hmm. but adults are liking it. It's like the Adventure Time or yep. the, you know, like, I don't know. What's the pony?
Young whippersnappers. Oh, the old pony. I actually wrote about this exact thing at Pop Matters, where I was saying that this is like a weirdly targeted at adults type game.
Right.
And it also, at the same time, going back to the aesthetic, I likened it to kind of like a 1990s Saturday morning cartoon aesthetic.
Sure.
You know, like, it's just a bunch of, like, radical punk kids, like,
staying fresh.
Yeah, staying fresh and, like, you know. What I said in the article was, it makes me, I'm less embarrassed playing this game than I am playing something like Call of Duty. Because Call of Duty is trying so hard to be serious
yeah.
that it's almost kind of embarrassing. Right. Like, it's like, stay frosty, tango on your six. It's like, okay, what am I actually doing here? I'm playing a goddamn video game.
Then maybe there's a tango yeah. on your six.
So it's like, but with Splatoon, it's like, there's no pretense,
yeah.
you know? It's yeah. like, you're playing a wacky game full of wacky things and they're having fun with it. And that's like, that's exactly what you're doing. Like, you're not pretending like you're a war hero. You're a Squid Kid.
You're a Squid Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Splatoon a little bit when we were bashing on The Witcher a while back.
Oh, man.
By the way, which we've received quite a few outreach. We really need to give that game another shot, apparently.
Nope, I'm doubling down.
But this is actually quite literally what I was excited about. Like, I wanted a game that was silly and weird and jovial and outlandish and totally just for you to have quick bouts of fun, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even the matches, they're what, like 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, it's like a 3-minute match for everything. I mean, yeah.
There's such a small commitment to that experience that I'm allowed to just have fun and experiment.
Mm.
Even with the weapons, right? Like, I feel perfectly fine swapping out my weapons and trying out weird stuff just to see how it feels, mm. right? I mean, there are even times where I know, like, oh man, I'm having a really bad few games. I'll just back out, join a different queue, change my weapon a little bit, something I haven't played with in a while, and, you know, whatever, have fun.
Let's talk about the mechanics a little bit more. So for people that haven't paid attention to the, you know, the hype train, which is like crazy hype. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen a more active Miiverse community than Splatoon.
The memes, dude.
Yeah.
It's the memes.
It's incredible.
It's actually, I'm kind of wowed. Like, I've yad more things than I ever thought I would ever yeah.
So many yeahs.
I mean, so you go into a sort of public space, which they call the plaza, and all around are other squidlings, which are actual people.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, how do you leave a note, by the way?
It's one of the kiosks or whatever, okay. and like, you can do a thing as part of your profile that you can submit things. Yeah.
So people have drawn like amazing art using the stylus.
Yep.
People have created weird memes. Yep. There are times where I was like, oh, I'm thinking one thing and then someone else draws it and it's so cool.
Yeah.
Or you see a lot that are like, yeah, if you are the person who inks the base, right? Or my reaction when people stay and ink the base with me and it's like hearts and stuff.
Yeah.
The aesthetic, it's almost like the aesthetic has been picked up by the people playing it.
Yes.
And they're replicating it culturally in the Miiverse.
There's like this little germ of what the culture around this game could be, and people just have like made that thing grow into a jungle.
Yeah.
You know, like
I feel like the developers must be really satisfied by that. Like that's something that's pretty rare from a community, I think, and it's really cool to see.
The impressive thing is that it solved the scourge of stickers in the Miiverse, because for a while Nintendo was putting out digital stickers with everything and people were just using that to post rather than drawing themselves.
Right.
But now there's like these crazy works of art that people are like drawing. Like I've seen so many like SpongeBob mashups with this,
like Squid versus Squidward.
I mean, it's I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's telling that the Animal Crossing team was the same team that did this game. Like, maybe there's just something that they know how to get people really involved.
That's it. I didn't know that. Actually, I mean, the Animal Crossing community is really passionate.
Yeah, I mean, there must be some vibe that they're able to imbue that gets people fired up about
it. The entire development studio is actually—they're made of children. They're just all children.
They're like hooked up, like
geniuses,
Minority Report style. So going back to the mechanics, once you jump into a game, the point is to, in the normal battle mode, the point is to paint as much of the ground as possible with the color of your team, and then at the end they tally it up and whoever has more ground covered wins.
Right, so they basically take a percentage of the surface area of the map, whoever has the highest percentage wins.
Yeah, and then I played a fair amount of the ranked games. The ranked games right now, they're adding some more, but right now the ranked games are a territory control thing where they box out a subsection of the map.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't played any ranked matches.
Yeah. So what they do is there is kind of a virtual square or rectangle in part of the map, and if you paint that rectangle, you control that territory, and then the counter starts counting down, and whoever gets to zero first wins.
I see.
But if someone splashes paint and ruins your 100% rectangle, the countdown stops, and then if they take it over, then they start doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being really cool, because unlike the territory mode, that's a mode where you do have an incentive to hunt out and destroy the other players.
And also to hide more. Because, I mean, what you want to do is, like, what's more terrifying than anything is to see a completely controlled zone and not see any other players.
Because you know that.
Because you're like, they're hiding somewhere waiting for me to attack. So but I can't not attack. Yeah. I have to attack.
I think this mechanic is probably my favorite in the game.
Yeah.
If you hit the left bumper, the left trigger, you turn into a squid. And if you're on your own ink, you basically go invisible.
Yep.
You can see slight movement if they're moving around. But other than that, you're basically invisible.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically anybody at any time can go into stealth mode.
Yep.
And then it's about, like, okay, hunting, knowing if you think something is a trap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once I figured out how to play around with that,
like
learning, okay, there's a spot right here where when people are first inking the level, they're not going to splash it with ink because it cuts off at a corner.
Yeah.
Which means I can hide in this little corner and then jump out and splatter them.
So what weapons have you been using?
So they start you off with a splatter shot, which is basically like a machine gun splatter thing.
Yeah.
I've played around with a bunch of them. There's some like mid-range ones that require you to charge up.
Those charge ones are the bane of my existence, man.
There's a sort of sharpshooter one
that
you can charge for longer and it goes a much greater distance, but it takes longer to do.
Yeah.
And then there's a roller as well
that
basically splashes a large chunk, almost like a shotgun in a sort of rectangular blast area, or you can hold it down and just paint things over.
Yeah.
If people don't see you, you just run right over them and pop them and splat them. I've been using the roller a lot, and I know that that's probably not the optimal strategy.
Well, I mean, I think the optimal strategy is to have a mix on your team.
Yes, yeah, I was just about to say that.
And, like, we'll talk about this later, because, like, so I like this game a lot, but I also have a note going, like, right now that says, the title of this note is Splatoon is a poorly designed game. Like, and so like there are like some major problems I think with it, but like what you're saying about the roller, like if you have like, I feel like the optimal is like having one or two rollers on your team and then the rest of the people need to be able to kind of pick up the slack with guns and protect the rollers basically.
Exactly right. Yeah. So this is, I mean, no doubts about it. This is a class-based shooter.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And there are supports.
Yep.
There are assault.
Yeah.
And there are like people whose job it is. There are even like a support in classes who basically go around and help you do your thing, right?
Yep.
So the rollers just dump out so much paint.
Yeah.
They create the like the quick highways that you can traverse the map.
Yep.
They're great at covering territory that is secure and not being on the front lines.
Yep.
And then you have people who go and hunt things out, right? Mm-hmm. And what's really cool, too, is a lot of the clothes that you wear, in fact, all the clothes that you wear, augment some of your abilities.
Yeah.
The weapons also come with augments. So one of the... I got the second roller recently, and I've been playing
around... Kraken.
The Kraken.
That was the one that I say is OP.
The Kraken is pretty OP.
Yeah.
But it's OP within an environment in which your players, your fellow players sort of get the game.
And once you know how to like counter it, it's like, oh, okay, I just need to, when I see someone coming at me with a roller, I need to just not panic and walk backwards and shoot them.
Yeah, I mean, every time that I die, it's because of those individuals, which is why I like the Kraken, because my response is to turn into a Kraken and just go right past them.
That thing just ruins people.
I still don't really know how to attack as the Kraken, though.
You press the jump button.
Oh, and then you splat them when you jump on them.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You're going to be a monster now, by the way. Like, once you clue into that, it's like, you just ruin entire teams.
The Kraken is good. The actual reason that I use it, though, is instead of having a grenade, like most of the weapons, it drops a sonar that people can then leap to.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, it took me a really long time to realize you could use the touchscreen to leap to your allies.
Yep.
But once I started doing that...
Yeah.
I started, like, infiltrating enemy bases. I'd go about halfway, find a spot where I could splatter a little bit of ink, drop my sonar, and then get out and use that as a place to teleport.
Yep.
If they don't find that sonar, it's super good because you can just wreck their back lines.
Yep.
And as someone with a roller, you are especially good at waiting for an enemy to go past you and then just rolling on them.
Yep.
Because your vision is so limited behind you that you just end up taking them out.
Yep.
And I've gone on like roller killing sprees where I've killed like 7 people in a row. Just killing so, spree. Just obnoxious. Like if 2 people are like having a skirmish, you go whoop, 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 whoop.
Yep.
Excuse me, like mopping the floor right now. It's really satisfying. It's a really satisfying weapon. But I haven't tried a lot. Like I know there's a paintbrush that actually looks pretty fun.
Oh, I was going to ask about, have you tried the
paintbrush? No, not yet. And there's also a weapon that, so I've been like trying to keep track. There's a weapon that I see a lot of people use who are consistently high up in kills and paint, which is this weird one with, it almost looks like a can on top of
it. I haven't gotten that one yet. I don't think I'm high enough level to unlock that, but I really want to get to that one because like you're saying, I see the rankings afterwards and like those people are usually getting as many kills as anyone in the match and as many paint points as anyone in the match, including the roller people. And it's like, what? Like, how are they even doing that?
I have no idea what that gun is, but yeah, that's exactly why I want it. And I suspect, again, that that's partly because the game doesn't have any way to communicate with your team, which is one of the most frustrating aspects of the game.
Yeah.
There's no way that you can see ahead of time who in your lobby is using what weapon.
Yes.
You can't, the worst.
Yeah.
You cannot change your weapon without leaving the lobby.
That was one of my biggest things. I was like, it's for all this game does right, like there are some things where it's like, guys, have you like have you played a shooter since the year 2004? Like, you know, like it's so there's nothing more frustrating than when you jump into a match and all of you have pistols.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I should just give up right now.
Yeah. Because
it's like, no way. You know, yeah,
or like 3 of you have rollers.
Yeah, it's like,
well, okay, we're dead.
Yeah.
I played a match where, no joke, all 4 of us had rollers and the entire 14 was ranged. It was like, all right, well, we're dead now. I mean, that's what that means. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And it's like, okay, maybe, I mean, maybe you can not do it mid-round because it's only 3 minutes or whatever, but like the fact that you have to leave the lobby and go through a load screen to change your weapons is madness.
Yeah.
It's just madness. Like, I don't know how that decision makes it through.
I mean, I even understand if they said, you know what, once you're in a match, you cannot change your weapon between deaths. Fine.
Yeah.
I accept that.
Yeah.
But yeah, having to bail, and that goes for playing co-op. You were on the other night. I joined your match. I wanted to change my weapon. I had to back out.
Yeah.
I join you again. You're already in a match.
Yeah, so you got to wait 3 minutes more.
Yeah, like, to start again.
But on the bright side, you have a cool little NES mini.
I don't know. I got sick of that little mini NES game pretty quick. I started to like do this weird thing where I would troll myself by pausing the game right before the jump completed. I died. So that if I decided to play it again, I would remind myself not to play that stupid minigame.
Yeah, I mean, there are some decisions like that where I just don't really get it. Like, I don't understand how that stuff gets through.
And there are a few things that I wish that they added too, right? Like, okay, fine. I get there's probably a lot of kids voice chat. Yeah. Not the best environment to launch with. However, you have this great map on your touchscreen.
Mm.
It would be really cool if I could leave markers to the map to my allies, like, oh, go here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a map called, I think it's called, like, Salt Spray Pier or something like that. And there's an area that's north of both starting areas that if you can control...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the one that... It's the area that's actually shaped like a squid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you could control the head of the squid, you will win that match.
Yep.
And I played a match where I thought we were winning the whole time because the entire enemy team was just sitting in that square.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last, like, 10 seconds, they push out, take a huge swath of area, and we lost. Yep. And that's that. And that's the way that it goes.
Yeah.
If you could communicate by, like, marking on the map, that would be a really easy way to sort of encourage people to go certain directions.
I realized fairly late that when you use your calls, like when you say booyah or come on, it pings you on the map.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I thought you can only do that when you're dead. You can do it whenever you want?
I think you can do it whenever you want.
Oh, yeah. So that's one way that
you... So you can kind of... But I think it also exposes you to the enemy, too.
Oh, so you can taunt when I kill someone.
Well, because, like, every once in a while, like, I got killed, and when you get killed, that's tend to be when you, like, do your most map study, and it's like...
Yeah.
I noticed someone was, like, up in the corner saying, like, come on, come on, come on. So I spawned on that person, and it's because... They were a roller. They had laid down a beacon, and they were like, this is our push, you know, like, and it was great, and it worked.
Oh, wow.
And it worked great, but, like, I didn't realize that that's what the taunts were mechanically for.
Oh, I see.
I was thinking about this whole thing, which is, like, so much of this game seems to be an attempt at addressing some of the things that make competitive shooters so inhospitable for new players.
Yeah.
And, like, I was thinking about the communication aspect, because I was like, when we were playing last night, not only can you not talk with your teammates, you get shuffled. You're not always on the same team as the person in your party.
Yeah. And even when you're teamed up, like, when we play together. Yeah.
So, but I was thinking, okay, like, what is the rationale behind this? And the rationale is, like, whenever I jump into Call of Duty or Titanfall or anything, I inevitably am playing with randos, but there are some people that are partied up together, and that basically ensures that you will lose.
Yeah.
Because they have an unfair advantage of, they're able to communicate with people, whereas you're just playing with a bunch of randos on the internet. And so a minority of players can control the majority of players just because they have voice chat.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what is the solution to this? Well, the solution is to completely remove it for everyone. And not only that, to randomize teams.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's just a really fascinating, like, and I'm not saying that I like it, but you can just see all of these things where it's like, we looked at all of the reasons why people get frustrated by shooters, and we tried to do something that shakes that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like that they switch. I mean, no, the other night we were playing, and I didn't realize we had switched, and I'm running around, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this guy. And then I die, and it's like, Scott killed you. That's fucking Scott, like, the worst.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, and there's some things where, you know, the level progression and the perk system is a little bit less of a pile-on. You know, it's still similar to, like, you know, calling in a UAV or whatever, but it's not as much of a reward to people that are already winning. Like, I feel like the matches teeter back and forth a lot more. The clothes are as much aesthetic as they are mechanical. A lot of clothes have the same perks, but you just like the way that this looks more than the other one. Yeah,
they also added this cool feature where you could go to this guy in a back alleyway and have him find gear you saw other people wear. And then you could order it and potentially buy it. So I saw someone with a gas mask, and I ordered it. He's like, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I showed up today, and he had it. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I need to go back to him. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't have enough money to buy it. It's really expensive, but I like that idea a lot. Like, they know that part of the enjoyment of this game and part of the aesthetic of the game is sort of playing dress up.
Yeah. I was walking around in it today, and they're starting some kind of, like, Smash Brothers like meta game where you choose a dog or a cat.
Yeah, dogs all the way, by the way.
Yeah, I chose dog too, because screw those cat people. And so that's like just another little thing where it's like, oh, it's just like a meta competition on top of the other competition that you're playing.
Yeah, and I saw earlier before that thing, before I noticed that thing, there were people who were like, yeah, vote cats. Go cat it's team. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about, cat team?
And also, like, depending on what team you choose, you get a shirt representing that team.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you man, put that I gotta on. Put my dog
yeah.
shirt on.
You get like a team dog shirt, but the trick is they're like, hey, yeah, you're part of Team Dog. Here's a Team Dog shirt. It has three perks on it that you can unlock. But the trick was when the event is over, you have to return this shirt.
You have to go back and give it back?
You have to give the shirt back. And so it's like it's this thing where it's like, we want you to play the game and like engage on it in this meta level, but also we want to ensure that you play it a lot because you only have this shirt for a limited amount of real world time. Oh, and so yeah. it tries to make you like, oh man, I should play like a few more matches because I really like this cool dog shirt that I have and I know it's going to go away. It's just like these weird little tweaks to like keep people playing over and over again.
Right. You know? But it doesn't strike me as malicious, right?
No. Like
this isn't a huge unlock tree, right?
Exactly.
Where you have to go over and over and over again. It's more like, it's in a weird way, it's almost like the way that some free-to-play games monetize using purely aesthetic objects, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you're right, a lot of the items you wear, just because it looks cool, you could buy a cheaper or a different version that looks different but has the same perks.
Yeah.
So while you are worried about perks in the same sort of loot way, you're so much more free to explore like your visual aesthetic too.
Mm.
And what's weird too is I almost feel like the plaza is really the only place where you can really express that.
Yeah.
So the plaza becomes this weird social space where everyone's posting their own Miiverse memes. Everyone's sort of showing off what ensemble they've put together.
Mm.
And then it's almost like they're playing competitively as a way, like a downtime between the real game, which
who's
is social.
The freshest.
Yeah, but who is the freshest? Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the freshest, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I have to always stay fresh, but you know, my kicks aren't as fresh as they once were when I first bought them.
I need
them.
To buy some new kicks for sure.
How do you feel about the... So when I was thinking about this, I was like, man, MOBAs have really been influential.
Yeah.
Are you getting that vibe too?
Because of the map layout?
Like maps and like limited number of maps and like very class-based. Like, I don't know. Like this feels
I think so. I mean, one of the things, it's funny. So when I first started the game, I was like, oh, this is so cute and cool.
Mm.
This is going to be fun. And then there was like a brief like 10-minute experience where I played a couple matches and I was thinking to myself, actually, you know what, this game is kind of dumb. Nothing really matters until the last 10 seconds of the game. There's not really any point in playing other than the last 10 seconds because it's just people scrambling and whoever has the most people alive wins. And then I kept playing it and I realized actually there's actually quite a bit of depth. I think the stealth adds a lot of depth. I think the hiding and then using it to map different areas with ink, there's a lot of depth in that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of depth in terms of how you control space on the map.
Yeah.
You know, there are times when it is very much your incentive to go it alone. Mm. And then other times it's your incentive to go with a group.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'd rather die than give up a certain spot on the map because you know it will open up for a roller to just come into your base and clean stuff up. Or I also realized for the rollers in particular, there's a huge benefit of inking up a large swath of your base completely because that place is never contested.
Right.
So really...
And it also charges up your special early in the game.
Exactly right. Yeah. So I found myself as a roller now, I basically stay back until I see the flow of the match happening. Then I work my way up about halfway, drop a beacon, and make sure that I protect that beacon so that my fighters can come into the middle, clear space for me to then go and enroll.
Well, that's why I was like... That's why just MOBAs have been on my mind because, like, what do you do at the beginning? You start farming. Like, you level yourself up. In this case, you're leveling up both your territory and your ultimate, which is your special move. And then, like, then what do you do? Well, we have to pick a lane to control. And, like, usually there are, like, set paths through the level where it's like, here are choke points. The level kind of diamonds out where it gets wide, but then there are certain narrow sections where it's like, okay, we want to control these lanes. Okay. Now, what is our next thing to do? Should we turtle? Like, should we just kind of consolidate? Or should we push? Like, there's always a push at some point, right? And so, and again, it's like all these MOBAs where it's like, okay, if you push too early, then, you know, they'll have time to to yeah. build their base back up and do it.
Well, and there's even segments of retreat where exactly, like, we've lost this team fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into squid form and just get the fuck out of here. Because if I die now, it opens it up. Whereas if I'm not alive, there's a tension, right? Where they're not inking.
Yeah.
Or there are even times when I go ink an area back in their base and then just leave because I know it's going to waste their time to go back and ink it. And they're not going to be in the battle during that time, which I can use them for different strategic purposes. So there is that sort of MOBA aspect where it's a sort of a bait and switch where you're sort of pushing where you want them to go if you're smart about it. I mean, a lot of times you're not doing it. You're just sort of running around. You're just like,
running around like wild.
Inking stuff like a madman. But if you take a moment to really think about it, and especially if you could somehow get like a ranked 4v4 with voice chat going on, you could play this game really intellectually.
I think what... I'll say this later. But I think to finish the MOBA thing, I think some of the frustration comes from the same thing where... if your team isn't working together, then you can get rolled pretty bad. Like, I mean, like there have been some matches where I felt exactly like you, where it's like, we have been behind the entire match and we end up losing like 30% to 70% or something.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've gone like 76%. Yeah. Like, embarrassing.
And it's like,
well, there's also some people who don't, like, who queue up and then don't play.
Yeah,
I don't
know
if there's, like, disconnection issues or what.
I mean, there's always something.
Which, by the way, that's also a MOBA problem.
Yeah. AFKs are ruining everything. Yeah, but it's like, so there's this frustration of if you make some early mistakes and they make some early victories, then it's just a complete avalanche from there on.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, I mean, these games of momentum.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, like... I think we continue to see that, and I mean, it was the same type of thing with Titanfall. It's the same kind of thing with a lot of other games where it's just taking these cues. I'm thinking about the future, right? Because this game was certainly released in a state where, for whether they did this on purpose or whether this was the plan the whole time, they plan to kind of support this going forward as a season, you know, in August or July, they're going to roll out a different competitive mode that is more like a tower defense type thing or
maybe
something
like a MOBA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, this is kind of like a, you know, the modern way of supporting this game. What do you think in terms of, the future? Like, what would you want to see?
You know, I would like to see the ability to change my gear during a battle.
Yes.
I mean,
quality of life improvements.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I do. I think it's a lot of quality of life improvements. Yeah. I think the games are fast enough that I can really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Have you played the single player at all?
I played the first level of the single player.
The single player experience is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And they have a few AI things. I think it'd be cool to incorporate some of that into the game.
So creeps.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there are balloons that you pop, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can imagine modes that are almost similar to Heroes of the Storm, where if your team pops enough balloons first, then you get some spray that goes across the whole map, or you get a special power-up or something.
Objective-based.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a lot of really cool ways to play around with it. I've heard from quite a few people playing Splatoon that they're really excited for the game, and everyone's talking about it, and they're having a great time, but they don't know how long it will last.
Yeah.
Like, how long will you keep playing Splatoon?
It's like any multiplayer game,
right?
And, it'll just...
Yeah. And that's the question everybody asks. Yeah. I think that, for me, as long as there's, like... I could see myself jumping in for a new game mode. I haven't purchased the game myself, but I probably will. It's on Gamefly. I'm just probably going to end up keeping it. Because it actually does seem like a game that I could enjoy just tossing in to, like, you know, calm down, especially between Destiny seasons.
Well, if they're going to do 6 to 12 months of, like, various updates and tweaks, it's not the
type
of game...
And they've already released a bunch of new guns and clothes and stuff.
I was thinking about the kind of competitive side of it, and I was thinking that that's probably a potential update where you have normal battle mode, you have jump in with your friends mode, then you have, like, kind of a ranked team mode so that you can talk with your people, but you're only playing with people that also have that option.
Yeah.
Because I'm really, the more I think about it, the more I'm in favor of completely separating no mic versus all mic.
Right.
Like, I think the mixture of some mic and no mic is actually a bad thing for most online games.
But do you think that, two things. One, do you think that kind of goes against the joyful aesthetic of it? Like, if you, the moment you have a voice, you have people disparaging you for playing shittily.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And you could argue, well, if you join ranked, you should know what you're getting into. But two, do we really want to separate the community at that point? We're at this weird happy medium, I think, where everyone playing it, there's a mix of young and there's a mix of old.
Right.
And they're all enjoying it in the way that I think it's meant to be enjoyed, in this sort of fun, aesthetic, jovial way.
Yeah.
The moment you start separating them into the people who are tryhards and the people who are not, I think you're going to have some antagonisms there where the culture changes a little bit.
Well, I think that... I mean, again, I don't think they necessarily need to do this, but a lot of people really want them to, and I just hope that they don't allow team-based squads against random-based squads.
Yeah.
Because that will ruin the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, if you're on a team that no one knows each other versus a team where everyone knows each other, that's going to be a bad time.
Yeah, I think that they should... I think they should allow you, joining up for co-op for ranked matches and only play against other people who are also joined.
Yeah.
Even if it means longer wait times, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Two, I don't think they should add voice, but I do think they should add better communication and pinging systems. Mm. They've come a long way in computer games.
Yeah.
And I think that with the touch interface on the pad and...
It's like Portal 2,
pretty cool
kinda.
Map. Yeah, I could see really cool stuff. Like,
yeah.
What if you had a pencil that you could draw, like, you know...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people would end up drawing dicks, but you could...
I'm the John Madden of Splatoon.
You know, what if you had, a little button and then a list that's, like, attack here, defend here, bad guy, you know, and you could sort of ping on the map according to the realities on the ground.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. And I think also... I don't know. I have a feeling that maybe this took them by surprise a little bit. I mean, it took me by surprise how many people actually, were obsessed with this game.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder now, do they want people to take the game less seriously?
Yeah.
Or is the huge influx of people who want to take the game seriously going to affect how they map the trajectory of Splatoon?
Yeah. I mean, it's this happy accident of, oh my gosh, people all got obsessed with this game somehow. I mean, not that I... expected it to completely flop, but I didn't expect so many people to be talking about it all the time. I also think that, on a side note, I think that the Nintendo localization team gets away with a lot of stuff. I almost feel like I don't know if this is purposeful or not, but it almost feels like no one's really checking up on them, and they just kind of get to do whatever they want
because of the weird dialogue between the news people.
Yeah,
I love that stuff. I think it's
great. In a lot of things. There's weird flavor text in Smash Brothers. There's a lot of weird stuff in Animal Crossing, and it's one of them was
the back alley guy is kind of alluded to be a drug dealer of some sort.
One of the two news anchors, one of them was asking what does the Win Cat do in between rounds?
Yeah.
And their response was, I don't know, cat stuff. And I was like, what?
Why would you say that?
Yeah, it's just kind of a weird,
I think biases the cat versus dog contest.
I know. It's just, I feel like they have a lot of, they either have a very long rope, or Nintendo Japan doesn't really pay attention to how they translate things, and they just have a long leeway of what they're able to do.
Maybe they're translating it exactly.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. I mean, it is the Animal Crossing folks, I suppose.
Cool.
Yeah. So final question, Amiibo.
I was buying luggage today, and I think I was in Target or something.
I'm just gonna saunter over to the Amiibo aisle.
I looked for, of course they don't exist. Yeah. The only ones are Mario and Diddy Kong now.
Yeah.
I think I would buy an Amiibo, sure.
Apparently those have been really popular.
I mean, they're really cool
looking.
There's
selling out. You can get a Squid Boy, Squid Girl, or just a Squid, I think.
I saw someone who clearly had an Amiibo because they were a mecha Squid. It was super weird.
I thought you were saying in Target, and they were they had an Amiibo, and they were sprinting towards the exit. They're no, go, get the Amiibo.
Total side note, I actually think it would be really, this is the type of game that you would pitch to ABC for a family-friendly game on television. A reality, competitive reality show where everybody has buckets of paint, and they're just running around mopping stuff.
It's Double Dare or whatever, but that's... The brand synergy possibilities are endless. All right, I think we'll leave it there for now. I think this is one of those games where I'll check in on it every once in a while, so we'll see what the new modes and stuff look like. But we're interested in hearing your thoughts. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our paint-covered base.
Yep.
I'm Shen Moot on Nintendo if you want to play with me.
What am I? I think that's just my name. Who I think it's you? Just S. Juster.
It's probably
just add us on Splatoon, and then
we'll get our hardcore ranked team.
Yeah,
going.
Exactly. We really need to start. We're gonna move to Korea.
You know what we need to start doing is we'll have the Wii on and the PS4 on. We'll join a PS4 party.
Oh
and
shit!
Then we'll have the mics. It's actually not a bad idea.
I mean, that's what people have already been doing.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, people have been, like, just Skyping each other, like, during the matches.
Hardcore.
Yeah, like...
Those are the people that really dominate me, is my guess.
Yeah. Cool. What else do we need to say? Oh, one more reminder. Earthbound in 2 weeks.
Earthbound in 2 weeks. And if you'd like, leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yep. All right. Until next time, everyone. Stay fresh.
Stay fresh. Every time.